So we talked a lot on this podcast before about the electoral system, how it works, how it's shaped the last few elections. But what if we changed it, and what happened the few times that a number of Taoiseach did try to change it? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
If you stop waffling, we might get some work done. You're a waffler. You've been years around here waffling.
God knows we have some All-Ireland champions here in Castlebar. I don't mean Castlebar Mitchells. I mean the whingers that I hear every week.
It's as though he found the entrance into Narnia and only pops back through the wardrobe every now and then to remind us of just how incompetent he is.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. And don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you're listening. Now, most of you who listen to this podcast regularly, you'll be familiar with the way that we vote. You've done it enough times over the last few years between all the various permutations of elections and referenda and presidentials and Dáil and all the rest of it that we've had to do. But there have been a number of times down through our history where different Taoiseach, for different reasons, have tried to change that system, in particular looking at a first-past-the-post system like what they have in the UK. So why did they not succeed? Why did they want to do it in the first place? And what would it look like if they had actually succeeded in that? Well, joining me now is Eoin O'Malley, a lecturer in political science at DCU and author of a number of books, but most recently, Charlie versus Garrett, The Rivalry That Shaped Modern Ireland, which I read over Christmas, Eoin, and hats off to you. Very entertaining insight into the 80s from your own unique perspective, of course, into that time. We might start there because there were earlier times that this was looked at in Irish history. But Gareth Fitzgerald in particular, he thought the electoral system should change.
Yeah, he was a person who felt that the PRSTV electoral system made all Irish politicians too localist and continually wanted to change that, including when his government was collapsing. He kind of famously brought it up at one of those meetings where his government was collapsing about changing the electoral system. And they all kind of looked at him as if he was mad because there were more important things to do. And so for a lot of people like Gareth Fitzgerald, the Irish electoral system is blamed for various aspects of it, of Irish political culture, such as localism. But he didn't really provide much evidence that it is a problem. I mean, that localism that is talked about, you do tend to see, you know, a lot of constituency representation in all sorts of countries with all sorts of different types of electoral systems. So it's not clear that that is necessarily the problem.
So you might briefly, how did we end up with PRSTV, with the transferable vote, if, as we see in the UK now, they use first past the post?
Kind of accidentally. So in 1917-1918, there was an election to, I think it was Sligo County Council, where they had to pick an electoral system for that. And they tried out, because it was kind of fashionable in the Electoral Reform Society in the UK, it was this new system of PRSTV was one that people liked. So they brought it and tried it in Sligo for Sligo County Council. And then when the new Irish state was being brought in, the British kind of insisted on it, in part because it was going to guarantee that the then significant Protestant minority would get representation in the new Free State.
Okay, right. So they had their own reasons for wanting it to be there and for wanting it to be in. And is persisted through, as we know. But to bring it up to maybe the first major challenge, De Valera, who did very well out of proportional representation and obviously led many, many governments, he was the first one to, I suppose, seriously propose changing it.
Yeah, so in 1959, when he was standing down as Taoiseach, he'd always been opposed to it, even though he had actually given it constitutional protection in 1937 and kind of said that we had to have this electoral system. He was always known to be opposed to it because he felt that it led to weak government, that PR would lead to weak government, and so wanted to bring in the British system of first past the post. But a lot of people at the time would have pointed out that had Ireland got first past the post as its electoral system, Fianna Fáil would have had guaranteed majorities the whole way through in every election from 1932 on. So people were kind of sceptical that this was a power grab by Fianna Fáil. and narrowly rejected it, although they did elect De Valera as president on the same day.
So I suppose bring us into maybe some of the arguments that he made for changing it. Like, it was relatively close in the end, so not everyone obviously thought that this was a total power grab, that there was some merit to it.
Yeah, so Fianna Fáil supporters wanted it, and they were probably that 48% that voted for it. I mean, the argument was that you couldn't have stable single party government with PRSTV or with proportional representation, but that argument kind of fell on the obvious evidence from Ireland, where you had stable one party government in for the previous kind of 16 years. So the argument was just not there, and the voters were unconvinced. And that argument was one that they used again in 1968 when it was tried again. And again, there was kind of hyperbole about how awful PRSTV was and how you couldn't get single party government and you would have these weak coalitions. And again, all the evidence was that, well, we've had pretty strong, stable governments, even when the coalitions were in place, they were relatively stable. And so this time in 1968, the voters rejected it by a bigger margin, by 60-40. And nobody really, apart from Garrett Fitzgerald, has kind of tried it again.
So Jack Lynch lost out that time around, even though he was put in the same arguments, I suppose, from a decade before. Why do you think did Gareth Fitzgerald never get around to actually putting it to the people or to seriously put it forward? Was it one of, because in your book you kind of paint a picture of a man of scatty ideas, I suppose, that he had an idea for every hour of the day, but actually getting that into a policy that his cabinet would be behind maybe proved one of the great difficulties of his Taoiseachship.
Yeah, I suppose had he tried it earlier on, he might have been able to get it through. But by the time he got around to doing it, it was as his government was collapsing. So he could have done it earlier on, but he had a lot of other things on his plate, like Northern Ireland and the economy. But it wasn't something that he gave up on, because I remember being at a kind of panel with him on the electoral system, and he was still vociferously arguing in favor of changing the electoral system because he felt it. He kept up until he died the sense that the Irish electoral system was leading to this problem of localism, and that TDs weren't working hard enough at a national level because of the electoral system.
So to look at it, and if we were to take first past the post, as a source of interest, actually, has there ever been a serious suggestion from a Taoiseach of another system beyond just the one that we use and say the first past the post? Because obviously there's like list systems in parts of Europe, there's the American system, which obviously isn't working that well. But, you know, has there been a serious push by anyone to look at a different way we might vote?
Well, in 2012 or so, the Irish Constitutional Convention that considered changing the electoral system. So again, in response to the crash, there was kind of some talk, the Irish political system has failed, and so we must do something about it. And so one of the things that the Constitutional Convention considered was changing the electoral system. It was rejected pretty strongly by the members of the Constitutional Convention. Now, I was kind of part of the advisory group. We didn't really pick experts who were making strong arguments in favor of change, because a lot of political scientists like the Irish electoral system. It's kind of entertaining. It gives you lots of information, and the counts go on and on, which a lot of people, quite well, political scientists tend to like. Maybe the people who are doing the counting don't like it so much.
No, journalists tend to like it as well. In fairness, it is great entertainment. The greatest blood sport in Ireland, as Ivan Yates has often called it. So if we were to look and just take, for example, Micheál Martin had all the support he needed and could push through change in the morning and decided we're going to do first past the post. How would it practically work? As I was trying to think, look at the UK system. Would you end up having a load of one-off races? So say Dublin Bay North, which DCU is in, might you might have a TD for Ballymun and a TD for Donnycarney or whatever. Or what way practically was it suggested it might work?
Well, it would be so you would have to obviously redraw all the constituency maps to make them smaller. So if, say, you have Dublin Northwest for that would be broken up into probably a Finglas seat, a Ballymun seat, something like that, maybe a Glasnevin seat. So you'd have a lot smaller constituencies, which some people might like. You know, they might have a person who actually represents them in, say, Merino Fairview, something like that. And you know, somewhere like Limerick City would have different, you know, you'd have a TD for Limerick City North, TD for Limerick City South, that sort of thing. So that would be one of the ways, practical ways it would change. It would be kind of difficult for voters. At the moment, the current system allows voters more or less to just vote as they please, and they don't waste their vote, even if they vote for somebody who is a no-hoper in the first way, in say the first round or the first count. With the British system, it would be kind of chaotic because, I mean, trying to predict who will do well is probably easy when you've got two big parties. So when, you know, when it was Fianna Fáil versus Fine Gael, you could probably have said that it was going to be a race between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael for the seat in each constituency, in just like it was normally always the Tories or Labour or maybe in Scotland, the SNP. Right now, the British system is, nobody can really predict what's going to happen in the next election because you've got four or five parties all in and around 18 to 25, 26%. And who comes first in each of those constituencies isn't really that clear. And it could be just people, you know, guess that, oh, the challenger might be the Green Party here and they'll vote for the Green Party. But it'll be difficult for all the voters. Say, if you're a left-wing voter, you don't know whether you want to vote for the Labour Party, the Green Party, or Jeremy Corbyn's version of whatever, or the Liberal Democrats. You won't know exactly who you want to vote for because you don't know who's going to be the kind of largest party in your constituency. And so equally in Ireland, it would be pretty chaotic as well. You might expect that left-wing voters, say Sinn Féin, might do well out of it because left-wing voters would coordinate and say, this is the largest left-wing party, so we'll vote for the Sinn Féin candidate. So that might be what would happen, but it would be pretty unpredictable.
Mm. Yeah, it's even trying to try to do the exercise of looking at last year's election results, or 2 years ago as it is now, 2024 election results, and seeing could you project based on who topped each constituency. And it's broadly similar. I mean, if you just took that as a one constituency point, you'd have Fianna Fáil with 30% of the vote as opposed to 22, Sinn Féin 28 as opposed to 19. But of course, that doesn't take into account all the local areas where you'd have battles. So you'd predict, for example, Mary Lou McDonald might take the Cabra seat, but Gary Gannon might take the Ballybox seat in Dublin Central or wherever it is. So it's very hard to say, and you could see potentially a position where smaller parties in particular do get squeezed out of a lot of areas simply because they're not able to ride the wave of the transfers in the way that we have now.
Yeah, and so you might have smaller parties would probably depend on having very well-known candidates in one particular area, and that might give them a chance, but they would struggle to get seats in the Dáil. I mean, I suppose rather than just use first past the post, what we could use is something like the system that we use to elect a president, which is AV, alternative vote. So that would allow people to kind of vote sincerely and give their first preference to whoever they wanted, and then the transfers would come in. And that would probably make some sense in the UK at the moment because of what's going to happen at the next election is going to be so chaotic. So it would be really unpredictable. I mean, attempts at predicting it in the past were a lot easier because you could see that Fianna Fáil would take nearly every seat in the country. And obviously then the other parties would probably have to coordinate in some ways. And so like back in the late 1960s, when there was this serious talk of a new electoral system, Labour and Fine Gael were kind of thinking, what will we do? We'll have to have a pact, may even have to merge in order to compete with Fianna Fáil. And so you might expect to see under a first past the post electoral system that you would have the Green Party, the Soc Dems and the Labour Party would probably merge or agree a candidate in each constituency.
Mm. It's hard to know, like, I'd be interested in your thoughts generally, and it's a sweeping question, but is it better to have a democratic system that has a few big parties, you could look at the US or wherever, or something like what we've seen in Ireland in the 10 years, how completely we've changed from our history to now have, what is it, 9 different groupings in the Dáil, and everyone can have their own spectrum of opinion, but it does make one government formation and getting a solid budget through, for example, if there has to be a difficult budget in the next few years, quite difficult. Is one better than the other?
It's hard to say whether it's objectively better or not. It's not something that's unique to Ireland. That fragmentation in party systems has happened all over Europe. And so it's happening for other reasons than, say, the electoral system. I mean, you could say that now we get to see the arguments that usually happened behind closed doors, that, you know, parties, big parties like Fianna Fáil were kind of coalitions of some people on the left, some people in the centre, some people on the right. You would have had Conservatives in Fianna Fáil and Liberals in Fianna Fáil. And that coalition was held together in the party, but it was difficult enough for the voters to kind of have their say about who kind of was stronger within the party. Whereas now, because you have people voting for different parties, that kind of coalition formation is more explicit, and we can actually see it. And we know if we're voting for the Sóc Dems, we know what we're getting. If we're voting for Aon 2, we know what we're getting. And it's not just happening within a political party.
Mm. Finally, then, on a complete and utter tangent from all of this, and to go back to your book, Charlie versus Garrett, which people can buy, and I would highly recommend for the political anorak in your life. Your dad obviously was Des O'Malley, had a huge amount of run-ins with Charlie Haughey down through the years. And yet I kind of came away on the subject of which is one objectively better than the other. I kind of came away from the book thinking you had a bit more of a grudging admiration for Haughey than for Fitzgerald. Am I completely wide
only
on that?
Kind of. Yeah. I thought it was fairly obvious. I grew up in a house where Charlie Haughey was sort of the arch enemy and was the devil incarnate. And I would have kind of imbibed that sense. And I mean, I was watching the Goodman documentary the other night, and I was reminded about what was so bad about him. But like doing research on the book and just generally doing research on kind of Taoiseach and how Taoiseach managed their governments, it's more than a grudging admiration. It's a genuine admiration of Haughey's abilities. He was clearly brilliant. He was he had kind of three sides of his career probably. But one of his first few years as Taoiseach were pretty awful. He managed governments really badly. He didn't really try to get anything done. But in the third part of his career from 1987 to 1992, he was a very effective Taoiseach. Probably is the single person most responsible for making Ireland a wealthy country, because remember in the 1980s it was piss poor, and it didn't, and that transformation didn't just happen by accident. And I think we can kind of put a lot of the credit at Charlie Haughey's door.
Did you get any stick in the family for arriving at that view?
Well, my father was dead by the time. I'm not sure he would have liked the book, to be honest.
Well, I did, and many people will and have, and it's a great read if people haven't read it, Charlie versus Garrett. Eoin O'Malley, thanks so much for joining us in the podcast and sharing your insights as always.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I will be back with you with another episode of Let Me Explain next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts.